And I think that
we have, in nine months' time,
we have some great players. And I think this season,
Potts spoke great English when he first came to the Prem, didn't he? We can win the league. Potts' English was great.
We think we can do something this year.
Hello and welcome to this week's Football Fans Podcast, the podcast that gives real football fans a real voice in the sport that we love. My name is Jordan, your host, and we are, what, a week and a half, nearly 2 weeks?
14 days.
Yes, from the start of the Premier League. And before I introduce my guest, I'll just announce that we're going to be having a fantasy football FFP league this year. We're going to be having guests from the pods, as well as any of you listeners out there that want to join the league. If you do want to join the league, the code is 895398. 200209. That's 895398200209. So just join our league, and there will be a prize at the end of the season. I don't know what it's going to be.
Probably, no, you better start thinking, because I want to win that.
Yeah, might be like a football shirt of your choice or something, or maybe a mitre ball or something. I don't know. Whatever.
You sell it, Jordan. Sell it.
You know what I mean? there'll be something, a microphone sponge or something.
Who won last year?
We didn't. This is the first year. This is the inaugural year. This is the first year. So to win the first one means
head
something.
Head to head.
No. We're just doing, because I'm hoping we get more than 20 people.
Okay.
So to just do everyone just finish the top right.
Ambitious.
The voice you hear on my right is the sounds of our United fan Zeke. What do you say, Zeke?
I'm good. All good. Ready for the season to start.
Are you really ready, or are you football fatigued?
No, not at all. I think it's a different dynamic when the Premier League starts. World Cup was great, but I'm looking forward to getting back to the week in, week out wars, you know.
As a United fan, we'll get to it in a minute, but are you genuinely excited about this
season?
You
know me, man.
Or are you just being Zeke positive?
Nah,
we're going to win the treble again type Zeke.
No one said treble. Okay, slow down. I am looking forward to the Premier League starting. Yes, that's all I said. So, yeah, we're good to go.
Okay, I'll leave it there. I'm joined on my left by our regular Spurs fan, Ollie. What are you saying?
It's been a while.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
How you been?
Yeah, good. Yeah, not bad. And I could do with a bit more time off.
Are you football fatigued?
Yeah.
You could do a few more weeks.
Yeah, a few more weeks.
That because you're get nervous those, for...
Well, I think it's only right as well. You know what it's like? It's like when you have all these games over Christmas, yeah?
Yeah.
And everyone goes on about, oh, we love the Christmas programme. We love the Christmas fixture list. But you know, you're going to get mugged off on boxing.
Crap football.
You know that the players, they play one game too many, and you know that there's going to be one game that's going to be really poor. Yeah. And you've got that feeling with the Premier League, there's going to be some really...
Slow start.
Well, I'm not sure it'd be a slow start. I think there'll be a few games where you'll find where it'll be some really odd scores, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like there'll be a 4-3 here, or one of the top teams will lose to someone that's not expected. There's going to be a lot of undercooked teams at the start of the season, I think.
Mm.
A lot of players, your team included...
We're in pieces right now.
...who are saying loads of your players aren't going to play the start of the season. Yeah. Whereas Harry Kane's like, I'm going to be there start of the season.
Yeah.
I don't think it's good for Harry Kane to just come rushing back and play at Newcastle. But, I know fans want to see more football, but at the same time, you've got to think about the product. And if you're paying big money, you want to see players playing at their best. You don't want to see them playing... And they're going through the motions. Mm. And that's what I worry about.
And I think as well, on the fixture thing, my club, Arsenal, our first two games are City and Chelsea.
That's heavy.
And you think that, do you want those games should really be when people are at their best.
Yeah.
Those games could be potentially quite crap just by virtue of the fact that everyone's either still knackered or people on, De Bruyne, Hazard, Giroud, these guys might be on an extended holiday still. They might still not even be in the team. So you're missing out on two games there where you're not really going to potentially get the players, and even if the players are there, are they going to be anywhere near 100%? Probably not. And that kind of feeds into the point about the overall product of the game, because you're not going to get the best quality game. But hey ho, it starts in 2 weeks. You can rock and roll with it. Let's start off, gentlemen. I want to talk a little bit about transfers and money, and if one of my favourite topics, value for money. And I sent you guys the question, which I'm going to slightly tweak because I kind of kind of roll back a little bit on it, but I sent you guys the question, is it time for a transfer cap? Because I was just thinking to myself, over the years, we always talk about the fact that the big clubs especially are paying stupid money for players that I think in the main we generally feel aren't really worth that money. I know it's the mindset of, if you have the money and you need the player, pay what's needed, whatever.
That's I don't talk like that, as you can hear.
But the sentiment is there. Right, so I know you're kind of at that school, but I think even you would admit, over the last 5 to 5 or 6 years, there's been some stupid fees paid for some average players. And then I was going through a lot of the teams and a lot of the business that's been done so far. I think myself, actually, I think there's been some good business done this summer so far. And I wonder from you guys, I start with you, Ollie, do you feel that this is another season where we're seeing, you know, overinflated financial-wise clubs just basically spending whatever is needed to get the player they needed? Or are you seeing some shrewd business?
Have you got players in mind that that brought this question out? Or
I was thinking of players like, I don't think Fred is a £55 million player. I think he's a good player at United. I don't think Alisson is a £67 million goalkeeper. No, I think he's a good goalkeeper. Mm. I don't think Richarlison, I know it's an instalment, I think it's like 38 plus add-ons, but I don't think he's a £50 million winger. And this is why I kind of, when I did a bit more digging into this topic, I thought to myself, well, actually, they're probably the only three players that I've felt like, wow, the fee is way inflated over the player himself. So I was wondering, am I the only person that still that feels that this is maybe the first summer where smart buys have actually occurred? Or do you still feel, with still time to go, we're just spending frivolously?
Well, I think that the real problem is that you've got teams like Manchester City and Chelsea in particular who have inflated the market. So now you've got a situation that if anyone
else... I think United as well.
Yeah, United to some extent as well. But then I actually think the United are in a no-win situation in the fact that they are Man United. I don't like to give Man United these sort of props, but that's the truth of it.
Man United
go in for a player, they're going to get charged more than anyone else.
A Man U tax.
Yeah, there is a Man U tax on players, and I have to admit that. You look at the sort of... Man U can't get... they can't be in for any player and it not be expensive.
Yeah.
Because it's Man United. People say, you've got the money, you're going to have to pay. Mm. So I do see where Man United are coming, whereas a club like Chelsea, who never had that money before, have come in now and they've blown everyone out of the water with what they're willing to spend, and Man City the same. So then you get this vicious circle happen where Manchester City, for instance, will pay £50 million for John Stones, and then that becomes the new norm.
Mm.
So the new norm is, okay, you pay £50 million for John Stones. If you want Kyle Walker from Spurs now, he's going to cost you £50 million. You know, everyone's £50 million now. So then their whole backlines cost them £50 million a pop. You know, Mendy costs £50 million. Mm. Kyle Walker costs £50 million. Stones costs £50
million. Laporte, £60 million.
That's the way it goes now. Everyone ends up suffering because then everyone now, all the top six clubs know, if you're going to come in for someone, you're going to have to pay the money. And that's where a club like Spurs, for instance, have got problems, because they still want to deal in this, well, we want value for money market. But the thing is to then...
The Jordan market.
Yeah. For them to move on and get players who are as good or even better than the players they've got in their first 11, they need to spend £50 million on someone. They're stuck now. They're stuck. They can't find that player. So I don't know if this summer we've seen more, you know, the more good deals being done. I'm not convinced about that. I mean, Richarlison's not worth £40 million, is he? But at the same £50 million.
Yeah, okay,
feel 40 going to 50. Yeah. But the thing is, with Richarlison, you look at it and you think, well, yeah, he's not worth that kind of money. He did look good at the start of last season, but he tailed off badly, didn't he? Especially after Silva left. Mm. But he's not worth that kind of money. But Everton are now in that market where everyone knows that they've got money. Mm. You know, they spent 50 or what is it, 45 million on Sigurdsson. So now everyone's going to say, well, you spent 45 million on Sigurdsson, you're going to have to give us 40 million if you want Richarlison. That's what you're going to have to pay.
Yeah.
So I just think it's one of those things where people don't even think about it anymore. Selling clubs don't even think about it. All they look at is, what's the going rate? And the going rate is this, you're going to have to pay that to get it. And by and large, the top six clubs, other than Spurs, end up paying it. That's where it is.
I think I'm having to come around to this idea that you've just got to spend the money. I mean, I'm still hanging on to this belief that if you scout well and you coach well, you can still bring through quality. But I think Spurs are the kind of example. Spurs pretty much embody my philosophy. Mm. And look what Spurs win. Yeah, my philosophy, I hate to admit it, is wrong. You have to.
I think it's just the signs of the times. I think it's the cost of doing business versus the actual value of the player. In my opinion, as Ollie mentioned several times, is that a player could be worth 20 million, but because it's a certain team and they know the amount of money behind that team, they'll charge, you know, extra taxes on top. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is. Mm. I think gone are the days whereby you buy someone for under, you know, 5 million and they turn out to be a 50 mil player. If you've identified someone as someone that can improve your team, and you have said, like, for me, Richarlison is a case that the manager knew the player he wanted, right? So he specifically probably identified, I want this guy. So in order for me to get this guy, how much is it going to cost? So the club have backed him in that sense. I don't think his fee necessarily represents his value. It's just what he's worth to his manager. Do you know what I mean?
And also Watford are clearly still pissed that Silva left them and went there. So it's like, you know what? Just for that, we're putting another 10 million on top of it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I don't think the cap will work for that reason. People aren't charging, or people aren't playing in the same playing fields. It may not go for a player. Will get charged more versus another team will get charged less, so that would be unfair.
But I've got to make it clear to everybody that I know this will never happen. I know it's not going to happen. It can't happen. It's a private business and all that. But should it happen, at the start of the season, all 20 clubs have a limit of spending 100 mil. Not net, you can only spend 100 mil.
No, I don't think that's what financial fair play was, really. I think it's enough to say spend within your means. You know,
but doesn't that mean for different that still doesn't make it a level playing field?
It doesn't. But that's
spending,
just
Man City paying within their means is very different to Fulham.
That's just how it is, isn't it? I mean, Man United's model is we've generated our revenue, you know, over the years of our success. So why should we be penalised that? Because another team can't. Haven't had done that, we can't spend what we are capable to spend. Do you know what I mean? It's proven that you don't need a 500 million pound squad to do what you need to do in the Premier League, really. I think there's an element you do it because, you know, you're trying to guarantee, or you're trying to improve your odds of doing that. If you're a big team, you need to be competing, but every team can compete in the Premier League if they do their business wisely. They don't have to spend City, Arsenal, Chelsea, even Tottenham to a degree's budget. You don't have to do that, and it's been proven before.
Define compete.
I mean, it's all relative. I mean, if you're Wolves are coming in, they could say, well, we're tempted to go in and spend 170 million on our team. I'd say don't do that. You know what I mean? Come in, probably try get mid table. For you, that's competing, right? You don't need to try and win the league. You don't need to spend 200 million to win the league. That's not your level. In terms of the Arsenal, I'd say, yeah, spend 100 million to try and get into the top four. That's you competing. In terms of Man United and City, well, speak to your banker, because do what is necessary to win the league. Do you know? So that's what I mean by competing. It's not the same for every team. So I don't think that's why I don't feel there needs to be a cap, because Leicester's proven, I know it's an ongoing case or example, but Leicester's done it. They've won the league. I don't feel that's going to be a one-off. I feel another team can push the top teams.
I'm coming around to that thing as well. I don't think another team will win the league like Leicester, but I think in the next 5 or 6 years, you will 100%. Start seeing some top 13 teams finishing top six.
I agree, I don't think
in the next few years, but I think long term, it wouldn't surprise me to see a Southampton finish, you know, fifth in 5 years' time, that sort of thing. I think that will become more normal.
Yeah, and I think what we would like to see, and a cap would be leading towards achieving this, I would like to see more visibility as to where the money is in football. You know, we talk about TV money. How much is that? And then if teams are, you know, if there is a pressure for teams to actually, you know, produce or publish what goes on with the money, with the agent fees or this, that, and this, that, I think that, for me, would put things in check a little bit, because we talk about 50 million for a player, but it probably costs more than that when you itemize everything that goes on in that. So, but again, that's just football. You know what I mean? But if the money's there, and the overriding thing for me, if the money's there and you can afford it, and that plays a value to you and your team, do it.
One of the transfers that I saw that made me kind of think about this topic was when Leicester signed, I think, Danny Ward from Liverpool for 12, I think it was 13 million. He's going to be, I checked, Leicester already got two keepers. So he's going to be their third choice keeper. And I thought, you're spending 13 million on your third choice keeper. And that's when I started thinking to myself, hang on a minute, these teams have definitely got way too much money. And then the discussion of developing players comes up as well. And Tottenham are an example, Southampton to some degree, in the last few years of doing that as well. And just by spending so much. And if we agree that in order to kind of win your league or compete at your level, you have to spend, does that mean that scouting and coaching is just pretty much dying now? Should we just all pack up our youth teams and just think, you know what, if we're going to come top 10, we've got to spend the money. If we're going to come top 4, is coaching done?
I don't think coaching's done, no. I think, you know, Zeke mentions Wolves, and I think that's an interesting example, because I don't think they're coming up just to make up the numbers. I think they're coming up, and it'd be interesting to see whether that model works, because Watford have shown over a number of years that they don't fit into the kind of, you know, the normal way of doing things. They just, you know, they change their manager every year.
Yeah, change their staff every
year. They change their players every year. They ship a load in, ship a load out, you know, and it's worked for them. They're staying up. They're not really fighting relegation every year. And this Wolves model, where they've got the super agent working for them, just getting in top players. I mean, they've just signed Moutinho. This isn't a club. I don't think this is a club who are like, you know, we'll be happy if we finish 17th.
I said in the back of the season, seventh.
You know, the manager's been there and done it in La Liga. They're not a team who are just coming up to just make up the numbers. Mm. They're coming up to challenge. Mm. I'm not saying they're going to be top four or anything next season, but I don't think they're going to, you know, they're not, listen, it ain't going to be like Mick McCarthy. You know what I mean? When they had Mick McCarthy the last, I think it's going to be slightly different this time with Wolves. I think they're going to come up and they're going to ruffle a few feathers, you know? Mm. So that'll be interesting. I think there's loads of different models of how you can make it work. There's a Tottenham model, as you mentioned. There's a Watford model, where it's just about, they're not trying to compete for anything. They just want to be in a big league. Mm. They're in a big league. They sail along quite nicely. They're not going to challenge anyone, but they're not going to go down. Yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Then you've got the top teams, obviously. You've got the other teams bouncing around in the middle, in the mid-table, and then you've got the teams down the bottom. There's loads of different ways of making it work. Mm. You know, and there are some teams, obviously, where it's important to win. But coaching's still important, because if you're Pochettino, then obviously, you know, the coaching part of it is that's key, isn't it? That is absolutely key. For the Tottenham model to work, the coach has got to be able to get a tune out of his players and get them into a situation where, okay, we're not going to spend as much money as United, Liverpool and City, but last three seasons, we've been in the top three. Mm. So you think, well, coaching's got something to do with that. Mm. Whether he can take them to the next level is another thing entirely. Mm. But coaching's a big part of that. Mm. Coaching's going to be a big part of what Wolves are going to do. You know, he's going to get decent players from around Europe and especially from Portugal. But at the end of the day, he's got to make it work. He's got to get them up there and make it work. You know, so yeah, coaching's always going to be a part of it. It's just a matter of, and even with Pep, you know, Pep's got all these players. But at the end of the day,
he's making them better.
He's made them better, hasn't he? Mm. He's made Sterling a better player. He's made De Bruyne a better player. You know, there's no doubt that he's moulded that team and he's made them into a unit. Mm. So even at his level, he's coaching, right? So I think that coaching is always going to be a key to it. But money is more and more is becoming an element, a massive element in how far you can go in terms of competing, winning trophies. And just the perception of the club. I think perception is massive now as well with fans and everything. You've got to, even if, listen, they're only, as Zeke said, right, you've got these clubs, right? Oh, you were saying a minute ago about buying £12 million for a keeper. That guy's not going to play. Mm. But at the end of the day, it looks like Leicester are doing something, yeah? And for fans love all that rubbish. You know what I mean? Fans want to know, my club, they spent some, I don't know who this guy is, but we spent some money on him. And it's like, and that's where the Spurs thing isn't working, because you've got to keep the car on the road.
I asked the Spurs fan, I think it was on the show last week, I asked the Spurs fan the question, is it actually a bad thing that Spurs, out of the top six, are the only clubs have not bought anybody? Because everyone, as you say, everyone kind of expects every summer, we've got to buy. But then that kind of plays into the idea that buying necessarily makes you better. Mm. And just because you buy a player, that doesn't make you a better team.
No.
It normally does, but isn't always. So I'll ask you, do you feel that the Spurs not buying players is a problem for Spurs. If you think, if he thinks that he being Poch, the squad is settled, you know, the success of what's happened in the last 3 or 4 years is a settled squad, and by bringing in 3 or 4 or 5 players is going to disrupt that, then not buying players is probably a good thing for Spurs then.
Well, no, because my question is, I don't see how you can possibly move forward by standing still.
Mm-hmm.
How do you stand still and go forward? They haven't won anything, right? The next step is to win something, right? They keep getting to the fence and the horse keeps balking, yeah? Yep. They can't get over the fence. So you got to look at it and think, well, maybe I need a couple of players here and there. I need to change things up.
So
yeah?
is better players the solution to that? Or is different tactics,
no,
better coaching?
Well, it's a bit of all of it,
yeah.
But definitely better players. You can't turn around and say, if you're Poch, right? You can't turn around and say, right, you know, it's about winning the league for me. Poch is turning around and saying, for me, the only two competitions are the league and the Champions League. To do what, Poch? You know what I mean? Mm. You can't talk about winning the league and the Champions League, but you're not going to buy anyone. And if you do buy someone, it's going to be right at the end of the window, and it's not going to be... You're picking up the scraps, yeah? Mm. That isn't going to change anything. So you can't... Which is it going to be? You can't turn around and say, we're all about winning the league and doing that, but actually we're not going to have a go.
Mm.
That doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? They've got to jump into the market and do something to move forward, you know?
One thing... I agree with you, Ollie, in terms of Tottenham's approach. But one thing I do respect about Tottenham is that it seems like you identify the people you would want to buy, and you do go for them. And if they're not available, you don't force it. You don't then go buy an alternative or like a plan B or C. Do you know what I mean? And that's when it gets expensive. That's when it gets a bit reckless. That's when the players flop. I always feel like Tottenham have a specific list of players that they want to go for.
And if I can't get those players, I won't settle for
exactly.
Third or fourth
best. I'll work with what I have. If we can improve it with who we identify as players that can improve our team, let's go for them.
That's not always the case, though, is it, with Spurs? The problem is, you know, say for instance, Jack Grealish, right? Now they've been linked with Grealish. Now, whether you think this guy is any good or he's good enough to improve Tottenham is one thing. But the fact is, if you've identified that guy as someone you want, right, it's not a good look to then be in a situation where you've kind of made an offer, but then you're in a position where you can't quite get it over the line.
Mm.
You know, what does that say about that? Makes them look like spoil fry.
But
this is
a guy who's been playing
in the Championship for 2 seasons, right? If you can't tie up a deal for a Championship player, right, you've got to look at it and say, there's something not quite right here.
I think you could if you were willing to pay the asking price.
Yeah, but
maybe that's what it is. Maybe
he's a shrewd businessman, and he's now using the whole fact that you are building this massive stadium that you won't overspend. So you might say Grealish.
But they've already said that the stadium has got nothing to do with their ability to go and buy players.
It's a lie. It's for the fans.
Yeah?
I think that's for the fans.
Definitely, but the point is, this comes back to what I'm saying, though, Zeke. Mm. There's a lot of doublespeak going on at Spurs.
Yeah.
I think they should just be honest. I think, you know, if they've got a problem with buying players, then they should be a bit more honest. Well, we got to cut our cloth accordingly. We can't play. You know, they can't go out and say, well, you know, we've got no problems. We've got all that money's ring fenced and we can afford to pay for players. We just don't want to.
Mm.
You know, whether that's the case, if that's not the case, then
be real. Yeah.
Be real.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Same with Poch. Don't start telling me it's all about the league and the Champions League, but then you don't buy anyone.
Yeah.
Because that, to me, I look at it and think, well, you fell short. Mm. You fell short in the Champions League, right, when you should have beaten Juventus. Yeah. Mm. You fell short in the semi-final of the Cup against United. You went 1-0 up and you blew it, right?
Against a very good team.
Wow. And the thing is as well, Zeke, you look at it and you think, well, okay, you've got a midfield there where you're relying on Dembele, yeah? This is a man who can only play half a season, if that, right? You can't go into another season relying on a guy who can't stay fit.
Yeah.
You can only play half a season.
Yeah, no,
if you're going to rely on that guy, right, then you can't be serious about winning stuff. You can't be serious about competing, right? He's a guy you can have as a squad man, but don't tell me that you're going to challenge a guy like that in the centre of midfield.
Another two teams, I think Arsenal and Chelsea, in terms of going back to the coaching point, Zeke, will be interesting because it seemed for me for about 6 months now that Chelsea, at least, Abramovich is on this I can't keep up Man City anymore. I can't do it. So we've got to now find a different way to try and compete. Mm. We're not the big boys in town anymore. Sarri, from what I saw last year, I followed a little bit of, well, quite a bit of Napoli in the season, in the league last year. And speaking to a lot of people who I know follow that league and know Italian football quite well, they've got Sarri as a guy that generally does make players better. Mm. And he's very much a kind of man management coaching kind of guy. He's obviously coming, and Roma must have told him, look, them days of spending 200 million in the transfer window, them days are done. So if you're coming, you better know that it's limited here. Mm. So do you expect Chelsea to be an example of changing their model to try and be successful because they've seen what City and even United are spending and realise we're not in that league anymore? And do you expect Sarri to be the guy that they've only bought one player in, Jorginho, in so far? Mm. Mm. Do you expect, you know, them to be an example of where coaching combined with maybe one superstar player brings them success?
I definitely, in the case of Chelsea, I think that what they are pursuing now is sustainable success, mm-hmm. in a sense that they've been very ad hoc with their buyers and their managers. Mm-hmm. So Asari, he's come in and said, you know what, it's not up to me to be in the transfer market. I look at what I have and we do the best with that, right? Mm-hmm. So he's definitely coming into, like, you know, take the pieces and build something with it, and which I quite like that notion. Mm-hmm. But Chelsea have definitely recognised the only way they can find new success is sustainable success, because mm-hmm. they've done what they've done. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They've done it here and done it there, then they've dropped and they've gone up. You don't want that. Mm. If you're going to be a big club, you need to start building a dynasty, and you really need to start saying every year we are guaranteed to be one of the top teams. Mm-hmm. But the last 4 or 5 years, I'm not sure Abramovich is happy with that. So I think the Sarri hire is definitely towards sustainable growth, sustainable success. And I think that's the right move. So they won't be going for the 75 millions every season. Mm-hmm. I think if there is still a player who's hot property, they'll still be in there causing trouble for everyone else. But I don't think they're going to be.
Do you think that going forward now, Chelsea are going to start bringing through some of those young players?
That was my question. Is that a good thing or a bad thing for people like Loftus-Cheek?
Honestly, if Sarri is the type of guy he deems to be, then yes, we should start seeing that wealth of youth that they have and all those players that they have on loan everywhere. He's technically, he has the most resources, in my opinion, in terms of bodies to work with. Mm. So if he's good and he reforms to the type we think he's going to, he should look at everybody he has an option with, because they don't need technically to buy new players. Their core team is good, so now what they need is extra help or support or development players to build
supplement
up
the quality.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Really there.
They don't need a £75 million. They don't need Higuain, in my opinion. Mm. You have Morata. They didn't really do it last season.
Got Batshuayi to come back.
Exactly. You've got players there. They should be on the level of City and Man United in terms of on paper. Mm. You know. Mm-hmm. So I really don't expect Chelsea to be in them. And if they do, then they haven't learned their lessons. But just to kind of jump back to you know, the whole coaching and scouting profession, you know, I still think it's there. The challenge is that it's just access, the accessibility to information, which was elitist before, is kind of gone, in a sense that if I was a scout and I knew of a player, it's because I've done my research. There's no YouTube, you know, there's no hype, there's no Twitter.
I was out there on the sidelines watching.
Exactly.
Players, and my own notes.
Yeah, and those days are gone. If a player is good, it takes one video to go online, he's done something special, everyone builds up hype, everyone thinks, oh, this is the guy. Mm. And then his price goes up, and then he's not actually done anything. Mm-hmm. He hasn't been scouted per se. It's all YouTube, really. Mm-hmm. And if your fans are talking about this player, and then everyone jumps on this player, and you want to appease your fans by buying the player, mm-hmm. you're going to spend silly money on that player. So I don't think it's necessarily about the scouting or the coaching is dead. It's just that it's a different sort of environment now, and the smart coach and a smart scout will take that information but then continue to do their actual work by going in to scout this guy and see if he's the real deal. And that for me is the value for a scout at the moment.
I definitely think on your point that Chelsea have looked across town at Spurs and thought, hold on a minute, that Poch guy, if I could get a Poch guy like him, right, and get someone who isn't going to come in here,
demand lots of money,
demand like Conte, the last couple of managers I come in thinking I'm just going to keep shelling out money to them. I get a manager like that, right, like Poch, never asks for anything, right, just coaches the players and
gets on with it.
Mm. That's what I want. You know what I mean? And I really think that both Chelsea and Arsenal, to some extent, Arsenal in the sense that, not that Wenger was spending money, but in the sense that they can control it. They can control it now. They can control it. They've taken, they've got Wenger out of the way, and they've got someone in who's just going to coach the players. And it is about, so going back to your question, that Arsenal thing, Emery's there to coach. He's there to coach. He's not there to buy players. Yeah. He's not there to say, I want some money. He's there to get on with his job, right? They give him the players, he gets on with it. And that's what it's about now. They want control. They wrested control back from Wenger. They've taken the club back. They bring in the players and say, go on, get on with it. They want the same model that he had at Sevilla. That's what he had at Sevilla. That's what he knows. He went to PSG, and PSG was just a hellhole for him, because it was he was just getting
no control.
He had no control. And he was just getting loads of he's getting loads of players in, just going, you know, these lot won't get on. You're gonna get all these egos.
He was never gonna win at PSG.
He had no chance there. But Arsenal, he's got more of a chance.
Yeah.
And they've got in some players. They've plugged a few holes where they needed to.
I think goodbyes, to be fair.
Well, they've got in some old grizzled pros. You know what I mean? They've got some old grizzled pros in there.
They've got a few players
who, you know, will put their foot in, and they've addressed the areas that Wenger didn't address.
The thing is about Arsenal, I think he's addressed the areas that needed addressing. My issue, my concern with Arsenal is the quality. So you've got a keeper in Leno, and so that we needed a goalkeeper. So you've addressed that area. You brought a player in.
Sorry to interrupt. Would he be number one, do you think?
When we first signed him, I said yes, but I'm not sure. I think Cech had a shocker last year, but in pre-season he's looked really good. I know it's pre-season, but I don't know. And 26 million isn't the kind of fee where you think he has to start. It's not a massive, you know what I mean? Alisson at Liverpool, he's starting. Do you know what I mean? 26 million is not a fee where you think straight away, he's got to start. So I don't know.
But it's enough to make Cech buck up.
I think I've got a feeling Cech will start, and I think it will make Cech buck up. So my point being, I think Arsenal, they've addressed areas where they need to bring in players. It's just the quality. Leno, I think, is a good keeper from what I've seen. Is he a great keeper in the making? I don't see that. Socrates, I'm not sure. You've got a defender, a grizzly pro, people like Kim. Is he going to be good in the Prem? I don't know. So I think Arsenal are going to be a little bit of an interesting case to see if those players that they've brought in to address those key problems actually kick them on, because it's the quality there. For I think also going back to the point you made about Roman looking over at Levy, there's another kind of thing he saw as well, as the stadium. I think Roman wants to build that stadium at Stamford Bridge, and he's realised that if I'm paying for the stadium, that's going to obviously mean I can't spend 200 million a year on transfers as well. So I think, again, he looked at Spurs and thought, how are they doing over there? How did Arsenal get their stadium and get through it? And I think he's realised that the way to do that is to play youngsters, blood youngsters, and try and be in the top four. I think personally Chelsea would take top four for the next couple of years. I think that, I really think they would. If they can get top four, just tick over the next few years until they can become that established top three team again, as you mentioned, Zeke. I think they'll take that.
But so he's building that stadium.
I don't know, but
they're
I think he wants to. I think he wants to leave a legacy. I think the stadium would be his legacy.
Not if he can't get a visa.
Well, no, no.
Just very quickly on the Arsenal transfers in. They've addressed, you know, the on-pitch, you know, obvious issues.
Yeah.
What do you think you need to do to address the whole sort of in-club culture around the players? Because that needs to change, doesn't it?
Well, from what we've heard, he has brought in a lot of his own staff, not just coaching. And this is what something I was banging on about when Wenger announced he was leaving. I hope the next guy brought in his own, just down to things like his own kitchen people, his own kit men.
I
think the whole culture from top to bottom needs changing. I think that club is Wengerized. That doesn't just end on the pitch. I think off the pitch as well, there's a level of loserism as well that needs to be seeped out. And that happens if you just start again.
And I
know that in the back he has made some changes. They're enough, I don't know. But I think that he had to just literally get everyone out.
And what are your expectations this season for Arsenal?
I see what you did there. That was a lined up shot there. You did well. You had me on a serious one there for a second. You just completely teed me up. Put the bulletproof vest down for 2 seconds. You scumbagged me. All right.
Take your time with this one.
Oh, jeez. Honestly, I said before, I think that I'll give him, I'm giving him two years because I think there's a lot of work to undo at Arsenal. And I'm not one of these Arsenal fans. Oh, it's got to be top four. Top four for me is going to be very difficult. And I genuinely believe that if he gave top fourth place now to everyone bar City, I think they'd take it. I don't think United are bankers top four. I don't think Tottenham are bankers top four. I honestly don't. I don't think anyone's a banker for top four right now, personally. So
especially if they haven't bought anyone.
Yeah, I think everyone thinks that the top four is going to be United, City and Liverpool and one other. And I just don't. Liverpool look good. I wouldn't put my house in the finishing top four. They probably will. So I think the aim's got to be get back in the top four, get back in that big party of the Champions League, and you can get back to being a big boy again. But if he doesn't, I think what's more important almost in this first year for Arsenal is that we get back to, we get some respect back. We've been for too long the laughing boys of the Premier League.
It's going to take more than any year.
You've got to start with one. we need to get some respect back on our name. That's the first thing. And the second thing as well, I think coaching as well, going back to our discussion, I think he's got to start coaching some players.
Yeah.
Under Wenger, the last 7 or 8 years, we saw hot prospects just...
Ox is the biggest example, isn't it?
Yeah, just tail off. I think if he can kick on the Iwobis, the Holdings, the Callum Chambers, get some of those guys first team regulars, that would be, and good football, that would be, I'll take that in the first year. But anyway,
fair.
We mentioned Liverpool. I want to move on to Liverpool now. We're going to get our regular Liverpool fan on next week, Neil from the Anfield Rap. He couldn't make it on tonight. But I want to talk about Liverpool. They've been very active, Ollie, in the transfer market this year. And with that activity and that level of expenditure, I want to know from you guys what you think should be the expectation on that club. Because I know I'm trying to avoid asking the question, does he have to at least compete for the league with expenditure? But that in effect is kind of where we are with Liverpool now. If you spend that kind of big dough, I think the question and expectation has to now be put on Klopp. Okay, you've been here this is his fourth year now. This is fourth season. We've given you who you want. This is your team
fourth
now.
Fourth or third? I can't remember. Might be third.
I think it's a fourth one.
Is it fourth?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's fourth, yeah.
Fourth or third. Is this now the season where you think we're not expecting you to win the league? We're expecting anything less than a title challenge is a failure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think they've got to compete for the title. I don't think. Listen, last season they could say that they got carried away with the Champions League and they kind of lost their focus in the league for a while, which is why they ended up fourth. But, you know, big teams have to do both, don't they? Big teams have to compete in Champions League and in the league. There's not really an excuse for falling away in the league because, you know, we're on this crazy trip and we just can't, you know, we can't jump off now. They've got to keep competing. So I think that they've got to look at it with the money that they've spent. You can't be doing anything else but competing with City. And there's so much talk around the whole, we're the only team who can beat City. City have got a problem playing Liverpool. So the next place after that is...
beat everyone else.
You've got to beat everyone else and compete with City. You can't be like having this trophy for, oh yeah, well, we always beat City when we play them, but we can't actually... we can't actually keep up with them and challenge for the title. Listen, they've jumped in and they've backed this guy. They've liked what they've seen. FSG weren't known as people who were going to throw money at it from the beginning.
Does it surprise you a little bit? Sorry, just on the point. Sorry to cut you there. Does it surprise you that they've, in the last 2 years, really gone and they've really gone ham with the spending?
Well, yes and no, because that's what I'm saying. They gave me the impression of owners who were prepared to do pretty much what Spurs do, right?
The bare minimum.
They've got bare minimum. They're only going to spend what they earn. Yeah. They're not going to really throw any money at it, right? But what's happened is they haven't gone down the same road as Spurs, because don't forget, their whole thing was, we're going to build this big superdome in Stanley Park. That fell by the wayside. They said, "Well, actually, we're not going to do that. We're putting a new tier on one stand." And the fans were like, "Yeah!" And the fans were like, "Yeah, we'll have that. We love it." Right. So, you know, essentially, they've balked. They've looked at the cost, right? Whereas, to be fair to Levy, he's gone through with it, right? He's looked at it and thought, White Lane's not big enough. We got to get in a big league. We got to build a proper stadium. They've carried it through, right? And I have to admit, I have to hold my hands up. There were times where I was like, they ain't going to build that stadium. And now it's like, I went past it the other day. I was like, wow, this thing's big. So, yeah, they're going to build the stadium. Who knows what it's going to do in terms of what it's going to it's going to impact on them in as a competitive side. But still, they've gone through with it. Liverpool, meanwhile, they've built one new stand and they've left it there. I know they've said they might build some other stands on top of stands and all the rest of it. But at the end of the day, right?
They're just keeping the fans.
They've gone back on what they said. And now, so I suppose they've looked at what Klopp's done over the last couple of years. They've looked at the feel-good factor. They've looked at the fact that Klopp, like, waves to the fans and he gets his fist up. And they all say, well, he's good, this guy. He knows how to whip the fans into a frenzy. They love all that sort of stuff. And it's like, we're special. We're a special club. You know what I mean?
Anfield European
it's
nights.
It's Liverpool. Here we go again. You know what I mean? There's a special atmosphere here. You know, it's Liverpool. You know what I mean? So, you know, we're back. So the whole thing is like they're building in. It's that thing. And what I said to you earlier, it's about perception. Perception is massive in football. Even if you're not doing anything, right? Even if you just buy someone who's not, it looks like something's happening there. Mm. It's something, you know, he's got him in the Champions League final. They've only just missed out on winning the big one, right? They've playing this sexy football. They got Salah, he's the top scorer last season. It's just playing into this whole thing. Maybe they've got carried away with it, Jord. Mm. Maybe they're running away with it and thinking, you know what? Shit, let's just spend some money. It's like they've all got carried away with it. It's this whole thing. So I got this impression that they're looking at it and thinking, we got to buy into this. We got a manager that everyone loves, right? Mm. And thinks that anything that trips out of his tongue, right, everyone's like, oh, it's Klopp. Yeah. Klopp did something funny again. Do you know what I mean? So they got a manager who's doing it. They got a player in Salah who everyone's talking about. Yeah. Those are documentaries about him. Mm. Look at this guy. He come from poverty. Like he's the last footballer who's ever come from like a poor background. Oh, look at him. He come from Egypt. Oh, look at it. They're all riding on camels. It's like, oh,
I
right,
tell you,
okay.
Honey, you are bang on in that sense because so, for me, they have to win the league. Listen, Liverpool are the biggest con
have
artists.
Have to win the league or have to compete?
Win it. I'm calling Liverpool out right now. You are con artists. Do you know why? Because as Ollie said,
Ollie went in, but like,
do you know how long the whole footballing community have given Liverpool the blight to be like, you guys are doing well. Rare, but you came close. Oh, but it's Liverpool. Oh, and we like Klopp, blah, blah. Nah, you're con artists because I'll now compare them to us because last time I was here, I highlighted. If Manchester United has spent 75 million on a central defender and did nothing from it, doesn't matter. We would be crucified.
But isn't that because expectations are different?
No. Because there's too much of a Liverpool loving, and it's time to stop. They need to, as you said, all of that fairy tale story, blah, 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 provide some substance now. Do something. You're spending like we are, spending like everybody else are. Klopp, you're running down the pitch. Provide. Everyone else has held their counter.
For a long time, right, Liverpool have said, oh yeah, we can't compete with United. And listen, let's get this straight, right? Liverpool for a long, long time, even when they've not been winning anything throughout the 90s, throughout the early 2000s, they've always been one of the biggest spenders in the Premier League.
Completely.
You know, there's no two ways about that, right? And there was a chart that came out earlier on in the year, said Liverpool spent the most on agents' fees out of any club. They've spent more money, even under Uncle Roy Evans, right? Even in them days, they were spending more than Liverpool have always spent more than anyone else.
And at one point, they had two managers. Two managers.
Under Houllier, under Evans, right? Under Rodgers, they were spending big money.
Listen, I know Spurs
don't spend money, right? At the end of the day, we've never been able to compete with Liverpool. When it comes to a player and Liverpool and Spurs are going for a player, you cannot compete with Liverpool on weight. Liverpool always pay bigger wages than Spurs.
I think, to be fair,
because boy, someone got the defend Liverpool.
No, don't. They've had their time.
Defend's harsh, but to be fair, in the last year, they did probably get what they paid for Alisson and Van Dijk from Coutinho money. So they got a big chunk of that fee off of one player. So it's not like they did.
I hear where you're going with this, but let's call it out, because Klopp called out the Pogba. It's been in the news. You know, they're very cocky about everyone else spending big money. So, is
Klopp a hypocrite for what he said 2 years ago?
Completely.
Or is he just a guy that's realised he's got to get real?
No, because Coutinho went for how much money?
145.
Right. And they've spent that on what? Two players?
Well, I just added up the two most expensive.
Yeah, I understand that. But if you're a shrewd, dare I say, the bail money was spent on five players. You know, they tried, they all flopped.
Seven.
But it was a seven.
Yeah.
I get that. But if you're talking about, it was all the Coutinho money, you haven't won the league in how long? You don't put your eggs in two baskets.
No, I disagree. I think Spurs got it wrong. I think if you get that much
money.
The concept... I think just go and bring in two stars.
But
just go and bring in two guys.
Essential defender and a goalkeeper, Jordan.
What? Arguably, if it had said to them 18 months ago, where the two most potent areas they need redressing, it would have been goalkeeper and centre-back.
It's easy to say that, Jordan, but how do you say that? You know, you got to go and bring in two guys. Two guys like who? There's no guarantees with transfers. There's never a guarantee.
Of course, you can spend
50 million. Look at Liverpool. Chelsea spent 50 million on Torres. Yeah? He was a flop.
But he was on the wane. Come on, he wasn't the same Torres. Of course they flopped, but I'm just making the point to Zeke that
Sanchez,
I think that
looks,
if you give him.
At this moment in time. Yeah,
he was 20 million though.
You would say that he's a great signing for Man United. So far,
I didn't.
So far,
no,
he's done nothing.
Yeah,
yeah. No, guarantees.
But I think you're more wiser to spend 100 mil replacing a superstar on two stars than five good players who may come good.
If you were supplemented a core team, I understand taking two superstars to put into your team to take them to a new level. But we're talking about Liverpool, and in reality they haven't got a winning team because they haven't won anything.
But I would say that post Coutinho they're better.
But they had Suarez, no?
Yeah,
they had Coutinho who was doing things. These were technically superstars.
Yeah, but you're not going to replace Suarez with a Suarez.
But
you can replace Coutinho with a world-class goalkeeper and a world-class centre-back in Van Dijk.
But how do Liverpool do it?
Well, that's why I put inverted commas.
No one saw that.
commas.
But what do Liverpool... What is Liverpool's formula? Because I feel they've done everything every other championship-winning team have done, and they just haven't been able to execute.
So you think he's a hypocrite? He called out United 2 years
club,
ago,
the whole
and now
club,
he's doing what United
the fans...
did.
The dinner ladies, the American owners, all of them, hypocrites, con artists, get it done.
So let me ask you now. So you're saying they have to win the league, otherwise it's a failed season.
100%.
Is it win the league or is it just win a significant trophy?
No, win the league.
So if they get top four and win the FA Cup.
They've done that. Jeez. They haven't even won the FA Cup, have they?
I think they need to win one of the big ones.
Yeah, they need to win
league
the league.
Or Champions League.
Yeah, league.
They're not going to win Champions League.
City in this league, you're saying they have to win it.
Yeah. Yes.
Why?
Yes.
Not?
Because
Why?
City are better.
So?
City weren't great.
So
why are they spending 67 million on a goalkeeper? Spend 20 million on a
goalkeeper. To go back to my initial question, compete is competing. If they get to the last month of the season and City are better than them.
No. Chelsea can compete. Man United can compete. Liverpool can't because they've never won it.
Right now, who has the best squad in the league?
City.
Who are the favourites to win the league?
City.
So why would you say you expect Liverpool to win the league?
Because they haven't done it since my life.
It's Leicester, but that's not a reason to give, is it? Come on, Zeke.
Jordan. And
if you're both saying that City are the best team in the league,
Jordan,
why are you saying you expect Liverpool to win the league?
No.
That makes no sense.
I said they have to win it.
I didn't say they have to win it. I said they have to compete. They have to go for the league.
You're saying
try and win it.
Do you know why I'm saying that? I'm not saying they're likely to win it over City, but in my opinion, all the good credit that Liverpool have had for such a long time, right?
Yeah.
They have to now pay that back. And now that they are doing exactly the same as all the other teams are, they have no excuse.
So what are they doing it for? They have to win it. So you're saying that Liverpool taking City to the last five games of the season, which is an improvement on what they've done in the last 5 years, is not good enough.
No.
Pushing the best team in the league and the champions to the last four or five games of the season is not good enough.
But City aren't guaranteed to win it either.
Jordan, if you listen to a Liverpool fan, right? If a Liverpool fan was sitting here now, I'd like to think that they would revert to type, right? Normally, Liverpool fans will tell you how much they've won, right? They've won the Champions League five times. They've won the league 18 times. Blah-de-blah-de-blah, right? How much they've won. They're not a club who they look at it. Their fans don't look at it and say, yeah, you know, we're happy if we push this team to the last four games.
No, right. But
Liverpool fans look at it.
But that would be improvement.
No, Jordan. They're Liverpool fans. Liverpool fans. I'm going on what Liverpool I'm going on what Liverpool fans tell me, right? Mm. They've got a history. A lot of their fans go back to a time where they were winning leagues every year, winning the European Cup as it was then on a regular basis. Their lookout is... it's about winning leagues.
So you think Liverpool fans, and I'm really glad we haven't got a Liverpool fan on this week, but you think Liverpool fans will be saying, we expect Jurgen Klopp to win the Champions League this year or the Premier League.
Yes, yeah.
And you don't think that's unreasonable? Yes.
No, absolutely not. Because John, I understand what you're saying about City.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
I understand what you're saying about City, but at the same time, right, City weren't that great the season before last. So City had to come from somewhere to get to where they are. Mm. So it's not impossible.
But 2 years ago, you could argue City had the best team in the league.
Sorry?
But 2 years ago, you could argue they had the best team in the league.
What, under Pellegrini?
Well, that wasn't 2 years ago, was it?
But Jordan.
That no.
Was, 2 years ago was Pep.
Sorry, under Pep. But they weren't the best team in the league.
They came fourth, didn't they? Jordan, but
they were poor, Jordan.
No, they were poor. But at the start of the season, if you were to say the best squad in the league, City would be in most people's top two.
They were, but
right,
they
so
were,
the point but, I'm making, but you know, what,
it doesn't matter what people thought at the start of the season.
Well, it does, because we're talking about now.
No,
season coming
it didn't
in.
Matter, because the point is, we know what we know now, Joel. We can't undo history. We know what we know. That was maybe at the start of the season, people were saying, yeah, City are the favourites with United, but that season's been and gone. We saw that season, and City were poor. City got beaten on a regular basis. They started the season well, but then they got beaten at Spurs, and then they got beaten regularly, and it wasn't like, you know, they weren't the finished article. They weren't ready. Mm. Pep wasn't ready. Pep had a lot to learn about the Premier League. Yeah, he learned what he took in all the things he needed to learn, and then the second season he got it right. Now I'm saying, what's to say Klopp, given the time that he's had at the Premier League, which is longer than Pep, why can't he affect that kind of change over Liverpool and say, well, we know we can beat City. Mm.
Exactly.
We know we're as good as any of these teams in the top six. We've been to the Champions League final. Mm. Why can't they affect that kind of change next season and win the league? Mm. What? Because City was so good that Liverpool got to be quaking in their boots. Why? Why can't they? Basically, you're saying to me, okay, City, Liverpool, who historically under Klopp, they've always done well against the top six, right? You're telling me that if he can't affect enough change to get them to beat the likes of Burnley, Leicester,
exactly,
Everton, they do beat Everton regularly, but you know, the teams that they lose to or they drop points against, mid-table teams, right? If you can't affect that kind of change to make you champions, then
you
maybe
though?
He's not the manager that people are saying he is.
Okay.
And that goes back to what Zeke said. Either he's got to now show it's not just the hype, he's got to show he can do it. Either you foot up like Pep did and show, when people were saying, oh, he's not all that great, this Pep guy, is he? He's come to Premier League, can't hack it.
And next
season he thought, I'll show you, boys. This is what Klopp's got to do now. You can't turn around and say, hey, but City are too good. What can I do? I spent 200 million, but City are too good.
All right.
You've got to go for it.
The losing points is not against City, but against the lower teams, as you said.
I was going to do it next week, ahead of the season, but I'll do it with you guys this week. Give me a top four then.
Give me a top four.
I know Ollie hates doing top fours. That's why I'm particularly asking. But give me your top fours. Who do you think will be this season's top four? And think about it. To really think about it. We can come back to the end of the programme. You want some more time to think about it?
Yeah,
come back
to
it. Yeah, want some time.
Okay,
some time.
Let's come back to that. Let's now talk briefly about Everton. Ollie, you mentioned Everton earlier on. I think Everton will have a good year this year. I think a lot of the signings they brought in last year that bombed, I think will come good this year. I'm looking at people like Sigurdsson. I think Silva will find a way to get the best out of people like him. Having said what I said about Richarlison, I think he will be decent this year as well. I think he'll have a decent season. Pickford's come off the back of a good World Cup and a decent year last year. What are you expecting from Marco Silva? Is this pretty much now his last chance in the Premier League?
No, I don't see it.
Well, he's got a relegation on his CV and he's got a sacking on his CV. He ain't going to get a club bigger than Everton if he doesn't make
it. No,
he
won't get a job bigger than Everton unless he makes it work. I agree with that, but it doesn't mean it's his last job. But yes, he's got to show that he's been worth all the hassle that Everton have been through to get him. Mm. And Everton, I just think they're going to be better off because I don't know what happened, right? But I just think that Rooney signing, I don't know who made that decision to bring Rooney in.
It was Kenwright.
But it was a wrong one.
It was Kenwright.
It was the wrong thing to do. Because they'd already bought Sigurdsson, and then they bought Rooney. You know,
no, they bought Klaassen first.
Yeah,
they bought Klaassen, then Sigurdsson.
Yeah,
sorry, then Sigurdsson, then Rooney. Yeah, it came
it's
in
like,
last.
Like, I don't understand what the thinking was there when they all play the same position. Mm. There was a lot of muddle thinking. It was a bit of a kid in a candy store approach, wasn't it? Oh, we got all this money now, Evan. All right, you know, we got to just spend it on anyone. Mm. But actually, when you look at Everton, if he can get it going there. They've got a decent setup there. They've got, you know, they've got the England keeper who's had a good World Cup. Mm. If they can keep hold of him, and Chelsea don't nick him, you know, they've got Coleman who's now had a few games under his belt, back from injury. Mm-hmm. He's a good right back.
The leg break.
Baines, you know, they got
solid left back.
You know, they got a couple of midfield players there who've got something to prove. Yeah, I think he could do something there. You know, he's got players there who they can maybe push on. I think that, you know, he's got his work cut out, obviously. But, yeah, I do think they could have a decent season. Mm. I do, you know, I think they've got more signings to come. I have to say, I cannot believe, right, that Everton and possibly, was it Fulham? I can't remember who the other team is. No, it's Wolves. Everton and Wolves, right, are the only teams who are in for that Yerry Mina guy. Because I'm telling you, right, that guy, he would kill it in the Premier League. Yeah. He would absolutely... I've looked at it and thought, how are Spurs not looking at that guy
I think Arsenal are one good centre-back from competing for the top four strongly. I don't know why we're
How many goals would he score in the Premier League?
He only
has to walk into the penalty box. That goal he scored against England, right? Yeah. It was like, I said before the corner, I was like, they've got to mark that Mina. It was the only corner they had. They had one corner, Jordan, and the guy just jumped. He hardly jumped.
He's quality.
He could get at least 10 goals in the Premier League, and he's a monster. He's an absolute monster. He would be great in the league. If Everton got him, that would be a massive signing for them.
Maybe there's a reason that we don't see. Maybe the coach has... He's been looked at.
There must be a reason.
Mina. The top teams must have looked at him by now.
He's at Barcelona. So, you know, if you're at Barcelona, then it's not
guaranteed. But Barca apparently have said, we need to let him go, and we're not going to, if a decent offer comes in, we will let him go. So they're not like saying, hands off, he's going nowhere.
I know that. They probably want big money for him, won't they?
I heard it's about the foreign rule. They need to kind of get rid of some... They need to get rid of some players to kind of balance their form or something like that. So they kind of need to get rid of him. So they made it clear a good offer gets him.
I just can't understand, right? If you look at Spurs, I'm sorry to keep bringing back the Spurs. You've got Sanchez there, right? He's his central defensive partner of Colombia. How have they not even looked at him? Yeah. And they're not even thinking, you know what? That guy, all we'd have to do is say, Ericsson, just knock the ball in the area.
Just a ballpark area.
It doesn't even have to be a good cross. Just put it in the area. Yeah,
and it wouldn't cost a lot of money.
Going back to Everton, I think, yes, they could have a good season. I think Silva's got something about him. And I really think that the fact that they've got rid of Rooney, I think it will free a lot of stuff up. I'm not sure what happened with Rooney. I'm not saying he's a troublemaker. I'm just not sure.
Well, kind of by saying that, you kind of are saying
I'm
that.
I'm saying in the sense that they basically made... It was a lot of muddled thinking. And then once you've got someone like Rooney there, you can't not play him.
You have to play him.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's a troublemaker in himself. I'm saying that if you buy someone like Rooney, you've kind of got to play him. And then bringing him in means that you're then having to say to Sigurdsson, can you play on the left? Do you know what I mean? Mm. And Klaassen, you're not even getting a game. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it caused problems. Mm. And Rooney, he's gone. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's gone. Yeah. So I think that messes things up. I think things will be a lot clearer for them this season. And I think probably Silva was probably saying, do me a favour. You can do one thing for me, just get him out the door. Do you know what I mean? Just get him out the door. I can just work with the players I've got now and then I can start again. Yeah. And I think that will help him massively.
Do you think their best players... I don't think the top six will be broken this year, but do you think they are the best placed team of anybody to break that top six?
For my own health, I don't like talking about Evan.
Okay.
For me, they're just so Jekyll and Hyde. I don't know. I really don't know. They're a very win or bust team. Do you know what I mean? So either it goes really well or goes really bad.
Blood.
You know? And that for me says something, speaks about the club and the way it's run. Mm-hmm. You know? It's just weird. Usually, if you try something that hasn't worked, means that your strategy hasn't worked. You can fall back and just be a bit. But it seems that they go full speed to try and achieve something, to try and win, and it didn't work. They have no plan B, and then they're in absolute pieces. So I really don't know where Everton are going to end up. I need to see how they come at things. And, you know, Silva is probably good for them, but it seems there's just something rotten in that club. Like, there's either some like incompetence. Like you said, you've the Klassen and Sigurdsson and Rooney had signed.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So I can't apply any sort of pragmatism or any logic to how they do things. So I just don't know. We just have to wait and see with Everton.
They've got some good young players at Everton as well. They produce a lot of young talent. They've got Lookman, who I love.
Yeah, where's Lookman?
He's on loan in Germany. They want to keep him. I think Everton want like some crazy money for him, but apparently he wants to stay in Germany, and the team, I think it's Gladbach. I think it might be Mönchengladbach. Is that they want to keep him as well? That Tom Davis guy, I like the look of him.
He's a good player. He's a very good player.
They got a defender. I forgot his name as well. A really young defender that can play fullback as well. They got some good young players. I hope that someone like Silva plays those youngsters too. Right, let's finish up, guys, on our top four. I'm going to come back to that.
wasn't much time to think about it. Was
it? No, there wasn't. give me your top four, and I want it in order as well. I went from fourth to first.
You go first, Zeke.
Okay. Manchester United as number one.
Interesting. Really?
Yep. Wow. Yep.
Why?
Sorry, you said top four. I didn't ask for reasons why. what do you want from me here?
I'll wait to the end then. Go on.
Okay, going for United, City, so a flip reverse from this season.
First?
Yeah, in order.
I said fourth to first. But it's cool. You've spotted now.
Winners first, isn't it? And the winners mentality.
Okay, now you're even more shocked. You think United are going to win the league?
Yes. They're going to be first.
Okay, again, I thought you meant fourth.
Manchester United, I said it. Wow. 30th of July, going to win the league.
Right, so that I definitely want to know why now.
No, you wait to the end. It might be an emotional decision.
Might be.
then Manchester City. Then I'm going with Chelsea. Then I'm going with Liverpool.
Wow. Okay. I'll come back to your wine in a minute. Go on, Ollie. Can you give me fourth to first?
Fourth to first.
Yes,
you
please.
Want?
Yeah. Please.
Okay. So I would go with Chelsea, United, Liverpool, City.
Why have you got Chelsea fourth?
Because I think that they'll, you know, they'll get a bit of a new manager bounce for one thing. I think they've got a team there who know how to dig out results. You know what I mean? They know how to get results in different ways.
See, I kind of thought that as well for a degree. And then I just thought that team residue of, you know, no matter what manager comes in, the core, it's kind of gone now. Who of that Chelsea team? There's not many players left.
Who's gone?
Well, you're talking about a team that kind of had the Terry or the Cahill. Yeah, I think Cahill will go.
Yeah, but they've gone.
Yeah, but who else is there?
The team that won the league under Conte didn't really have Terry, did they? I mean, he played a couple of games, but didn't really play.
Okay, true.
Listen, this might change. This is why I don't like these questions.
Yeah, no, it's a mad question to do
because
right
it's
now.
It's before the end of the window, right? And who knows? Hazard might go.
Yeah, but the window starts.
Willian could go. There's a lot of speculation
the
about Willian
in the season, so it's a bit reductive to give top four when the season started. I know it's only two or three games because it's like picking the lottery numbers when two come out.
You have a better idea of who's got what at the end of the window.
Yeah, we're guessing.
So anyway,
the point is,
I'm saying Chelsea at the moment, but that might change because Spurs might buy someone, right? But Spurs might buy a couple of players that might make a difference. Chelsea might lose a couple of players that might make a difference. So I don't know, you know, I'm just off the top of my head at the moment, bearing in mind who signed who at the moment, right? So Chelsea, I would go ahead of Spurs and Arsenal. I'm not convinced about the Arsenal thing. I don't know enough of the Arsenal players either, but I'm not convinced that it's going to be that much of a change that you're suddenly going to be in the top four. I'm not saying Emery won't get some progress, but I'm not 100% convinced at the moment. I don't know enough about Torreira, for instance, right? He might be great, but I haven't seen enough of him to say, he's going to
make a real difference to Arsenal. But that's not to say he can't. So, yeah, at the moment, I'm just going on what I know. That's why I'm saying it, Jordan. Okay. I'm not saying because I've got any particular like for Chelsea or anything. It's just that I know that they got players. If they keep Hazard, I know he's a performer. If they keep Kante, I know he's a performer. You know, Jorginho's a decent player. They've got players, you know what I mean? They've got a defence that is well-drilled. They know how to play, all the rest of it, right? They've got a decent keeper. But that might change in the next week. They might not have Courtois. They might not have Hazard. So I will go with Chelsea. I will go with United third, Liverpool second, City first.
Okay. And do you think it will be another City romp, or do you think it'll be tight?
I don't think it'd be a romp because I think that, you know, second season syndrome, you'll always have teams who are a bit wiser to what you do, and City might lose a few more games than they did this last season. So, yeah, I don't think it'd be a romp, but I still think that the margin of victory last season was enough to keep the the pack off their tail for one season more, at least.
Zeke, you went with United, City,
Chelsea, Liverpool.
Okay, so let's start at Liverpool. Why did you think Liverpool fourth after just saying they should win the league?
Because they're a bunch of failures, isn't it? No. they need to, but they won't. And I think
sorry to cut you. So that's a massive, like, you've gone from saying they should win the league to thinking they're not even going to come close.
Well, I my comment was that they're no. No, if you listen to what I said, we could play it back. They're con artists, so
but you, not gonna Zeke, you're saying that team should win the Premier League.
They need to win the Premier League.
No, you only said they should win the Premier League. You said
they need
should.
To.
Well, everyone, Arsenal need to win the Premier League. Not even need to win the Premier League. You said they should win the Premier League.
Did I say they should?
Yes, you did.
Did I say they should?
Yes, you did. You said, Ollie,
help me out. Did
you
I say?
Said if they don't win the league, it's a failure.
I can't remember exactly
what I said to you. Is it a failure?
Okay, we'll play it back. But to be clear, they need to win the league because they have been given so much time, so much blame.
They've never won the Premier League. This is a club. This is a club, and these are fans, right? Who go on about their history. They're going about their history, right? They have not won the Premier League.
No, I get that.
Ever.
I get all that.
Right? You say Arsenal don't need to win the Premier League. Arsenal have won the Premier League, right?
Yeah.
Chelsea have won the Premier League. Blackburn have won the Premier League.
You know what I mean?
Liverpool have never won the Premier League.
I get that.
And yet they go on about their history. They go on about how they've, you know, we've won the league 18 times. In the old days.
They need to
win the league.
Period.
Okay.
And they've talked about, and the thing is, you know, they had that period under Brendan Rodgers where they should have won the league, right? They should have won the league that season. And it was all this thing about, and Zeke's right in what he's saying, all this stuff about Liverpool, and it's like, you know, back then, I remember when it was them or City to win the league, right? And all Liverpool fans clamming the phone ins going, we're the people's choice. We're the people's choice.
That's it. That's
we're
the
team that everyone should be supporting because we've done it the right way. We've done it the right way. We don't go out and try and buy it.
Absolutely
now, nonsense. Look at them now. Yeah. What have they done now? I don't care whether they've got the Coutinho money and it's all sustainable and whatever. Bottom line is, right, they're going out there and they're buying big. And even before the Coutinho money come in, right, there's not many clubs who could go, you could turn around and say, oh yeah, Salah, what a great signing that was. There's not many teams who could go out and spend 36 million on that guy. I'm sorry, but there's not many. Spurs wouldn't pay 36 million for him. Do you know what I mean? Not many teams would spend, and Mane's the same thing. They spent a lot of money on Mane as well. So this is before the Coutinho thing. They've always spent big money. This is what I'm trying to tell you, Jordan. They've always spent big money. I know.
And
the thing is, and yet their fans will tell you this rubbish about we're different. We've done it different from United. We don't go out and spend. Yes, you do.
So let me ask you, would you have said the start of last season, Zeke, they need to win the league?
Probably not. I think
so. The money's the difference. The expenditure, I mean, is the difference.
100%. And just because Klopp's in his fourth season, and he's just so.
So why do you think they're going to go from where did they finish last season? Third.
Fourth.
It was fourth last year.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can't see any improvement with that expenditure.
You asked me a lot of detail for a guess.
I'm just calling you on it. You know.
In terms of the know-how and the other teams, that if they do right.
You know what you're basically saying is you can't see any improvement this year.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
What do you mean you can't see any improvement?
Fourth and fourth.
Oh, what? I forgot you put Liverpool fourth, didn't you?
That's what I'm saying.
That's deep.
Not, they'll come second or third. Fourth.
Fourth.
That's fourth. Deep.
That's what I'm saying. Anyway, okay, so let's move on. United, is
you,
that just
see, you
an
are,
emotional...
You sure thought you asked,
didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. You asked a stupid question.
Right, yeah, this is true. This is true, you get a stupid answer.
And then Chelsea third.
Okay, and that I can kind of see that. What I can't see is United win the league. Why do you think they're going
to
win the league?
Well, it's going to go to Manchester. Why? And are you honestly going to sit here and ask me to put City over Manchester United?
I want you to be an intelligent and unbiased football fan for a second.
My team's
going to win the Premier League. We can all do that. But I want some substance behind that statement.
Well,
because right now...
So what? Now you're acting like I've said fucking, you know, Wolves are going to win.
No swearing on the FFP, please. You see, yep, Stephen Joshua producer giving the nods.
Yeah, you're acting like I...
Me and Ollie need something more than emotion as to why Man United are in the Premier League.
It's right.
Ahead of Liverpool and City.
Okay, who's... Manchester City, I think Ollie said it already, is that second season syndrome. Yeah. And I've said before, it's going to be very hard for... City to replicate what they did last season.
Why?
Right? Just because when you've done it, naturally, how many teams have managed to win the Premier League back-to-back? Not many.
Not many, but that's not a good enough reason to think that they can't.
No, I'm going over history here. I don't think many teams have done that.
Many have.
So I'm expecting, you know, City not to do what they did last season.
Not many teams have won the league, though.
By that many points.
Even
if they have a dip.
Yeah.
Because I personally think they will win the league
view,
by 10
my
points.
View last season was that is yes, City did really well, but I think it's also more so that the rest of the league were just really poor.
I agree.
Right? And I don't think everyone's going to allow City to do that again. If we respect ourselves, we're going to compete a bit more. Mm-hmm. So I don't think City are going to run away with it as they did last season. I think they're going to struggle to even come close to that. Right? So if you then ask me who's the next team likely to pit them for that, for me, it's United.
How? Based on what?
Based on what? Where United are at the moment? With
you're
Mourinho,
in pieces. Your words.
With Mourinho moaning about everything, right? How, and saying he hasn't got enough signings and he's not happy with the board and this, that, and the other. How do you go from that to win the league? I don't see that.
It's pure emotions.
You call it emotions, but if you ask me now, who's going to win the league? I will say United because
you're a United fan. I want to football fan.
Because you've said so many times you're United. Of course, your standards are so much higher. Yeah, so now
no,
that I
no, no I've said no so, I've said so, no, no,
wait,
no
wait,
I've,
let
no,
me
what,
finish.
I've said,
sir.
No, what I've said is United should be competing every year because you're United.
Okay, so we should be competing. So if I then go with one extra step and say we're going to win it, why is it now ludicrous? So you need to just.
No,
to say United are United and our standards.
Your own quote, we're in pieces. So how do you go from pieces to champions?
No, you're talking about pre-season. Pre-season, we are in pieces. That's what I said. But you constantly go at me saying, you're United. You shouldn't be content. Jose Mourinho should be competing for the league every single season because you're United, right? You should be competing. So now I've said we're going to win the league. You're now telling me it's ludicrous.
You've not given me a reason.
But why?
What is the, give me
so
a
what's
reason.
The reason? What, on the flip side, what is the reason why United's standards should be competing every season?
Why should be? Because you spend as much as everybody else, pretty much.
Yeah.
You have the pedigree.
Yeah.
You have the manager that's got proven track record of winning Premier Leagues.
Yeah.
You have the resources to be able to put a title challenge together every single season. Those are four reasons why Man United should always be competing for the Premier League.
Thank you. And for those reasons, we're going to win the Premier League next season. That's what I'm saying.
But why would that?
So why is that ludicrous?
But what happened last year and the year before?
That was last season.
Well, you said you're going on previous history, so I'm
going
to
no. I'm talking about previous. I'm going on previous history based on City not retaining the title.
Okay, so for that argument, you've used recent history.
For my argument,
I'm using recent history.
So recent history shows it's very hard to win the Premier League back to back. If there's another team that's going to be able to compete,
I think you're slightly struggling, but we'll let
and
you
pip
off.
Them.
Who's your
pip them
top
to the title?
Four,
I think City will walk it. Can I disagree with both? I think they'll walk it by 10 points.
Both. I think City will win it.
No, I think they'll walk it.
How are you going to?
I think they'll walk it. I think Pep will find a different way.
Let's wrap.
I think Pep will anticipate. I think he'll anticipate other teams thinking, well, we know how to beat them. I think he'll double bluff teams this season. I think he'll tweak his system. I think they still have the best team in the league. I don't think anybody else, I don't look at anybody and trust anybody. I don't trust Liverpool. I don't trust United at the moment. I don't trust anybody else. I just don't.
I don't look at any team.
I just don't look at any team.
I bet you beat City in the first game.
I think we might.
Didn't Jordan say?
I think we might.
Top six, he doesn't know about any of them.
Yeah.
No,
he did say that.
What's your top four anyway?
Top four is City to win it. I think Liverpool will come second.
Yeah.
Don't be emotional. Say United.
I don't have to ask the questions. I ask the questions. So I need some more time to think about that one. On that note, we're going to wrap up there.
What? No, no.
Do not forget to subscribe to the podcast.
Pieces.
We are on iTunes. We're on Spotify. All the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
He doesn't want to go live and say it's Arsenal.
Leave us a review, a comment.
You can abuse
these poor two guests if you want. We're back on the podcast next week. Until then, peace. Thank you.